Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you've been around the city lately and noticed new murals, 28 of them, in fact, that's the work of over 20 local artists selected to create public art for the Regional Arts Commission's St. Louis Mural Project. Funded by $1 million in federal American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA funds, the project brought together artists of diverse styles and disciplines to paint murals in every ward of the city. Tracy Morgan serves as a lead for ARPA for the Arts with the Regional Arts Commission of St. Louis. She's been working closely with these artists and joins us now to discuss what motivated this project and public art's place in beautifying neighborhoods in community-centric ways. Tracy, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you.
So these 28 murals, there are two in each ward, mm-hmm. have been painted at a range of places, and that includes gardens and mom-and-pop shops. Tell us about some of those locations, Tracy, starting with ones that many folks are likely to be familiar with.
So, well, the locations were chosen by several ways. So we had our alderpersons weigh in. You know, they know their communities best, and they gave us, you know, a few options that they had. Mm-hmm. And also we got, we had a form on our website. So we had submissions come in. We had artists that also had buildings and building owners that they had worked with or know of in the community. So it was a collaborative. It was a group effort.
Mm-hmm. Are there some sort of hidden locations that people, you know, should make it a point to visit, like ones that are maybe a little more embedded in neighborhoods?
You know, I have to tell you, actually, I can't say that there's one more than the other. You know, mm-hmm. this whole project was based off of, you know, really recognizing the historic value of the project, community collaboration, and on top of that, economic development. Mm-hmm. You know, so our goal is to have tourism explode over this. You know, people come to St. Louis from all over to, you know, take part in our arts and culture environment in our communities. So we felt like this would just be an extra proponent to that, mm-hmm. or component to that, excuse
right.
me.
So artist Miaya Adero's mural
yes.
is one that is on one side mm-hmm. of a garden shed at mm-hmm. the Bustaniya Openda Garden in Ward 10, mm-hmm. and it includes a poem created by young people she works with, written in graffiti-like font, and surrounded by flowers with children's faces in the center.
I am a person of color. I love color. My favorite color is lime green, so I will throw any opportunity that I'm able to just put color everywhere, I'm gonna do it. So that's why the background has so many colors in it. And I just wanted something that will pop, something different when you come. It's fun, it's uplifting, it's bright. I think in our community, there are so many abandoned buildings and old buildings that have so many historical backgrounds, and they have graffiti on it, but the graffiti doesn't have deep meaning, or it doesn't have color. It's just somebody just came up and spray painted something. So having the opportunity to beautify something and make it a little bit more popping, or that having that image that somebody will remember for forever. So.
And that mural is in Ward 10, which includes Forest Park and areas immediately north. Tracy, what kinds of stories about each ward are artists telling through their murals?
Oh, it's amazing. So depending on how they decided to create their mural, they have the historical aspect, which lends to, you know, the historical components of the ward, the people that live there, you know, some of the old businesses that were there, you know, just to highlight some of the things that maybe new people that come to St. Louis or move here don't quite know about. So, for example, there's one in Ward 4, I believe. It's called Roots of Dogtown. So that mural has like these old mines and things on it that, you know, that existed where we were actually standing. So it was really cool to look at that and know that we're standing right here and how everything's been built around it. But this is what used to be here. So yeah,
there
we get
stories,
a lot of those.
Yeah. Are there stories that you learned about neighborhoods through this project, even as someone who is, you know, working as a lead on it?
Absolutely. There are so many stories that I've heard through the business owners, that I've heard through the artists themselves. I mean, I've lived here my whole life, and you know, I did not know of some of the historic value in a lot of these wards. And you know, for the first time, you know, we've had 28 wards, and the first time it's 14. So we really wanted to make sure to highlight all those stories, and we will on our website. Definitely have to go there and check it out. And you'll hear from, you know, the artists and why they chose their murals and the backgrounds behind those.
Yeah. So, do you have an example of some, you know, bit of history that you've gleaned so far from the project?
Well, the one was the roots of Dogtown. Oh. I had no idea that it was where it was. Also, Gans Hove, he's one of our muralists, and he will be placing his mural on the Wall Recreational Center. So that's in Ward 12. And I did not know that there were all of these mounds that were in that area. He is going to bring out all of those, you know, and a lot of people that live in that area now are people of color.
Yeah.
So it is good for us to know and learn. Like, I had no idea. You know, I thought all the mounds were in Cahokia. I mean, I don't sound, yes, mean to sound, you know, but... I definitely think that this is amazing, especially for people that are like me who didn't know a lot of those really valuable historical aspects.
Yeah. And we've talked quite a bit about the mounds on the show in recent months. So, Tracy, can you walk us through the process of selecting the artists? Who was involved in that? You mentioned older people.
Yes.
But what and who else was involved?
So we had a nice village of people that came to help us with this process. You know, this is the first time we had ever done it. So we wanted to make sure that it was a fair process, that we had the parties involved that had the expertise. I want to say, so it was, first of all, it was a blind process. So all the artists that submitted their work, we didn't know what their names were. We may have known what ward they were from, and seen their work, but there were no names. And we had three public art specialists, Mallory Nazam, Misa Jeffries, and Gina Grafos. You know, she's with the Kranzberg. Very influential. Their expertise was amazing. And we had the members from the CDA, SLDC. And we also had our public arts lead, her name's Chloe Smith, with the Regional Arts Commission, who kind of spearheaded a lot of, you know, bringing in the right people to do the work. And then on top of that, we had our alderpersons, we had myself, you know, community leaders, was it Brett Narayan and also Shane Cohn, who brought in, you know, community people that you wanted to give some insight, you know. And so we saw different, everybody used their own expertise, you know, to make this happen. So
what kinds of conversations did the artists in particular have with older people? I mean, were there things that the artists were bringing up that alders just had not thought about?
So the alders and the artists did not quite join together until the mural started. So a lot of them, when we went to look at the wall and, you know, to meet with the building owner and go over the contract, would show up as well. So what happened there is that what you'll find are the relationships that were made between the artists and the community, I'm sorry, the business owners. One person, one of the artists, is a musical producer, and it's so happening that his mural is going up on a wall of a music production company, you know, somewhere he had produced years ago, and they didn't know of each other. He didn't know the building owner, and he didn't find the building. So it just turned out that worked out. Another artist, I want to say, it's Brock Seals.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he's one of our artists. He was letting us know that he had purchased his first car from this building owner that he was. Because when we all met, he was like, hey, don't I know you? It's like a lot of this is very full circle. And it's a little eerie how that worked out. But that's just, you know, greater things working together to make sure that we send the message and do the work that we're supposed to do to make this city great. So
We're talking about the St. Louis Mural Project with Tracy Morgan, ARPA for the Arts Program Lead with the Regional Arts Commission of St. Louis. The selected artists have a range of backgrounds and disciplines, so not all of them are muralists, and they've approached their work for this project in very different ways. Multidisciplinary artist Rob Armbrister is finishing up his mural on the brick wall of the Sisters Sandwich Shop in Ward 5, which includes parts of South St. Louis, The Hill, Northampton, and Southampton neighborhoods. He told our producer that his art is inspired by St. Louis's greenery.
My piece was initially inspired by, actually, I had some out-of-town friends visiting, and they were commenting on how green everything was, and that's something that it's kind of stuck with me after they had said it, because I love walking around the city, and it's true, compared to other cities I visit, that there's just so many trees, so much nature, and something when I was coming up with the mural idea right after that, that really stuck with me, and I wanted to kind of represent that. And something that's been really great so far is that even as I'm working on it and it's unfinished, people will walk by and comment how much they like it and how excited they are to have a mural. And that's just very, always great to hear. I'm glad people like what I'm doing, but also it's great to hear that people are excited to have art around the city and be excited to see what it's going to become.
You know, something that Rob brings up is that his work is in progress. So the way that people experience this public art is not just as a completed piece, but as it is in the process of being completed. Now, what Rob is talking about, again, not a muralist by training, was that a mix of skills and sort of inspiration, what Rob talked about, something that the project was aiming for?
Absolutely. And, you know, we actually got a lot more than we thought we would get. You know, the residents called for more public art. The artists called for more places to place their art. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know that there was such a cry for this. And now that it's happening, you know, I've been at murals as, you know, as I'm visiting them, you know, we gave out some really cool bags, you know, to kind of help them through the process. They had like sunscreen and sunglasses and bug bands, things like that. And as we're there, you know, people are driving past, they're honking, they're waving. I'm in the process for the completed murals of putting on the stencils with the artists, which is the logo, the ARPA for the Arts logo, and where you can find the map on our stlouisarts.org/htlmp. Mm-hmm. And we have a map there that has them all. And even today, I met with Fatou Kane, and we were at the George Washington Carver House. And the people that walk by there were just, you know, they stop, they look, they clap. Like, it was just an amazing experience to see how this touches a lot of people, you mm-hmm. know, and just to actually see it, you know, in front of your eyes. It's pretty inspirational. So,
and were there any guidelines that were given to the artists in creating these murals?
Yes, there were guidelines. One was the mural had to have the historical aspect of the ward. Or highlight community engagement within the mural, or to have people come out and, you know, do like a paint by numbers to mm-hmm. Maybe paint a piece of it, or, you know, at some point, you know, have them come and experience it. So that was one of the guidelines. Of course, we have to follow the rules, right? There's rules when it comes to public art, making sure the buildings aren't historic, and if mm-hmm. they are, we get permission from the city. You know, they had to have insurance so that way they're covered and the building owners are covered, you know, things like that. And then between the artists and the building owners, just making sure they had a mutual care for one another.
Sure.
Is there a place for them to use the restroom, have mm-hmm. running water, mm-hmm. you know, throw away their items, you know, things like that. So yeah. It was we definitely want to make sure that the artists were taken care of, the business owners were taken care of. And, you know, it was a great experience for everyone. And mm-hmm. this is our first time around. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, have come to light, not that have, you know, that we can always make the project more efficient, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but for the first time around, I think we did an amazing job. And just seeing hearing the outcome of all of the people that are involved is just, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So
the business owners, you mm-hmm. have mentioned them. They agree to have their walls painted, and
yes.
then you make sure that these are buildings that can, in fact, be
yes.
painted on. Why did they say that they were interested in this program?
beautification. You know, they wanted the artist to have a place. They wanted to let the artist know that they have, you know, a palette. There's a place for them to come and work on, you know, and the traffic that they notice that comes by, you know, it can make somebody's day so much better just seeing a word of encouragement or seeing whoever's creating the mural like, you know what? And, you know, when I grow up, I can do this or, you know, even now. So it's just been really a really wonderful experience.
Right. Now, to do something like this, there has to be money.
Yes.
Right. And the St. Louis Mural Project was allocated about $1 million in ARPA funds. Mm-hmm. How is it, Tracy, that that money was spent or distributed?
So 100% went all to the artists. So we had to divvy it up a maximum amount per ward. Mm-hmm. So that meant that each artist had a cap on, you know, what their budget would be. So we worked with them on their budgets and made sure that it fell within that category. And, you know, the business owners weren't paid. They were very aware. They knew that this was just, you know, their
all
wall
volunteer.
Was a, yeah. Mm. And, you know, the artists created their budgets and received what they needed to create.
Mm-hmm. Now, ARPA funds, they have not been used for a large mural project like this elsewhere in the country. But was there some precedent that RAC was following, you know, that comes from another country around the world, or like this idea, where did it come from?
I want to say the idea came from, you know, the Community Development Administration. You know, they have a really eye on what needs to be done in the city. St. Louis Development Corporation, 100% our amazing CEO, Vanessa Cooksey. When she has a vision, she has the right people to execute it. So, you know, that was something that was a call. You know, she pays attention to what is needed, you know, and what and that falls in line with our mission. So she made sure that that was something that we could bring to fruition. So a lot of guidance from her, from our grants team. You know, it was just an amazing experience. So
Waza Carroll and her daughter, Miaya Adero, whom we heard from earlier, they each painted their own murals on a Bustania Upenda garden shed in Ward 10. And Waza Carroll jumped at this opportunity from the Regional Arts Commission because she said grants like this don't come by often. And she also talked about the benefits of public art.
It brings beauty and can be informative, you know, for putting our heroes and sheroes up on these buildings. Not only is it beautifying the building, but it's also giving you something to look at and inspires them and aspire to. Also giving artists a chance to show, you know, who they are and what they can do.
So Tracy, did many of the artists in their applications to be part of this project, did they cite the same reasons, you know, beautification, education, inspiration, and presentation of local artists' skills? You know, and were there other reasons or motivations they wrote about that seemed important to include in this process of determining what is going to go up on all these city walls?
You know, a lot of their similar aspects of their applications were, you know, I've lived in this city for my whole life and I would love to see more beautiful work. This neighborhood means this to me personally. You know, wanting to get to know the business owners that are around. Wanting to have more engagement with the community, just letting them know, like, hey, we're here and we want to do this. We want to be a part of what makes St. Louis great. You know what I mean? So having the opportunity to do that when, you know, most of the walls here are so taboo because this is a very historical town, you know, but we definitely not only wanted to highlight them and they not only wanted to highlight their area, but the hidden gems within the area, the mom and pop shops that are in the wards that people may not know about, you know, where are you going to stop to get gas or this community development center? Like there's so many things, so many community gardens, you know? Mm-hmm. So we plan to also have those items in addition to the murals, like while you're at the mural, go have lunch here or you can get gas from here. You know, we really want them to see how hard we work to make St. Louis great within the arts world, outside of the arts world. I've even seen, as I go and stencil these from the beginning, which was back in early June to now, these alderpersons at work. Like, if there were, you know, sometimes we would go to a building and there was brush everywhere, or, you know, the alderperson be like, man, we need to really clean this up. And I'm seeing that happen. I was out with Fatu this morning, and the forest department was out there, forestry department, and like all this trees and brush that was there, cleaning all that up. So I think it's amazing that it's also sparking some of the things that need to be done that may have fallen out of, you know, point of view.
Right.
So,
and in the last just 10, 15 seconds or so, how long can people enjoy these murals?
We are hoping for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. So the business owners, what's great, the ones that we've partnered with are absolutely going to make sure that these stay up as long as they can, as long as they don't sell any of the buildings. But yeah.
Tracy Morgan is an ARPA for the Arts lead with the Regional Arts Commission of St. Louis. Tracy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we'll have photos of some of the murals we've talked about later on our website. That's at stlpr.org.
Today's segment was produced by Aula Kuziz.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.